I'm an explorer from another planet in the Milky Way. Oh!
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over!
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Asian Action Cast. My name is Sam, and joining me tonight in person, in the flesh, touchy-touchy, germy-germy, we have Scott.
Hello.
Rachel.
Hello.
Nathan.
Pull my green finger.
No, I don't want to touch it.
You're going to make jokes about the crystal, aren't you?
The magic penis. Don't touch Mikey's penis. Hello, Mikey.
Yeah.
It's
just not happening.
Yeah, no. Welcome to the Asian Action Cast, where we review, recap, revamp the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. We watch a film, discuss it for your listening pleasure, and enjoy ourselves, as you might enjoy listening to us while we delve down Amnesia Lane.
Guess what?
Hello, Scott.
Of this recording night, it's Friday the 13th.
It is Friday the 13th. You know what that means.
Spooktober! So we're recording this in October, but this might come out in November, so...
Who knows? It's the magic of time warp!
No, it should still make it, right? Mm. It'd probably be like the
28th. You guys ever check the calendar, like, ever?
It doesn't
28th,
matter.
I think. 27th or the 28th, it should come out.
Can everybody allow me to go on a little tangent here?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's what the show is.
No.
Go for it.
No.
I bought this CD, this three-pack of CDs called Monster Halloween Hits.
Okay. I was working in the lab.
hold that thought. All right. So,
they couldn't get the rights to Monster Mash.
Hold that thought. So Halloween isn't that big of a deal in Australia. It's more of a thing for adults to have parties and shit in. So this is a three disc compilation of songs that I'd say people born after maybe the year 2000 probably wouldn't resonate as much with them.
Is it a meme song?
We've got songs like Ghost Town by The Specials, Feed My Frankenstein by Alice Cooper. So anything that's got a ghost or a spook reference. Thriller by Michael Jackson's on here.
Universal Monster movies.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
So Black Knight by Deep Purple, you know.
I mean, they're really digging there. It sounds like they just got whatever they already had the license
Number
to
of the Beast by Iron Maiden's on here. So you said that I was working in the lab. The Monster Mash. That should be like 1A, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Disc 3, track 4, The Monster Mash.
It's on there,
though. What the fuck? That should be top billing.
What is your plan for this album? This
to get a DCMA strike on this podcast.
Why isn't this disc 1 or 1A? Or
I don't know. That's wrong. Although I could see an argument for Purple People Eater as being the first
Purple
song.
Oh, yeah. Purple People Eater?
I think it's on here. But
it should be.
Outcast featuring Keyless, Dracula's Wedding.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was pissed that it was on disc 3 and not like 1 or 1.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right, I'd be pissed if it wasn't on there at all.
Wow.
Sometimes licensing, man.
Mm. Yeah. It's like Guitar Hero.
There's some real, some of these songs that just barely, like, Backstreet Boys is on here because the video has them being all...
Yes, of course.
That's not a spooky song.
Backstreet's back. It's kind of spooky if they're coming back.
Creep by Radiohead.
They just came back again.
When they're dead,
Oh, it was NSYNC. Oh, that's right.
No, Backstreet Boys came and did tour too.
Oh,
shit. They did tour in Australia?
Jenna went and saw it. Ugh.
Wow. There you go.
I love how we just had to have a little dig. Ugh, yeah. Fuck them boy bands.
MC Hammer, Addams Family Grooves on here too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get I had to get that out of there.
Thank you for tangentialing your way into Halloween.
I'm angry about that.
Yeah. It's on there. Yeah. You know what else is on? Hong Kong and Asian action movies. That's what's on, Scott. Nice segue, Sam. Good job. So, whose choice was this tonight? I think, Scott, this was yours.
Who was yours?
Mine? Oh, well, no, I might have said Crystal, Magic Crystal. Did I suggest this?
I think a long time ago.
Oh, geez. Okay, thanks, Past Sam, for suggesting Magic Crystal. I don't know why I would have picked an Andy Lau
film. He's mad. I don't know.
I'm not mad. I'm just... I wouldn't have chosen it for a horror-themed... Like, I wouldn't choose it for October. It could have been... We could have watched this anytime.
It's hard to pick a horror-themed action movie.
I had a couple up my sleeve.
Not from Hong Kong, necessarily, but... In general,
I had one too, but couldn't really find it.
I got it. I got it on Blu-ray, but I was like, no, Magic Crystal's fine. I prefer to watch Cynthia Rothrock kick things than the thing I had, so that's fine. No, my mind was definitely skewing more scary than action, so I was like,
Actually, yes. No, I was just plumbing the depths of Past Sam's brain, and I think I saw Cynthia Rothrock, and I was like, there's a Cynthia Rothrock film we haven't seen. And it involves a magic crystal and Andy Lau and Wong Jing.
So we can do that.
So we could do that.
Yeah, we can do that for Halloween. It's got a magic ESP alien crystal. Now, I do have to get everybody's opinion real quick. Aliens. Horror, not horror. Horror.
Science fiction?
Scary or not scary, you mean?
Yeah, so for me, horror is supernatural. It's ghosts. It's Dracula's.
I have one word for
it's
you.
It's the Wolfman's.
I have one word for you. Alien.
Yeah, but...
But at the beginning...
The movie Alien is a horror film.
At the beginning, you didn't know it was of alien origin. You just thought, well, I don't know. It was just supernatural of sorts, all maybe. Right.
Is Predator a horror film?
They're suspense movies. They're thrillers, but they're not horror movies. They're not ghost movies. They're not bumps in the night. There's not a ghosty appear in any way. You know what I'm saying?
No, Predator is one of the greatest movies of all time.
It is. Predator Handshake is well known.
The difference is, this is a great example. Event Horizon, horror movie.
That is a fucking horror film.
They go to hell. They come back. Spookums.
That scared the shit out of me. Watching
aliens
that.
Are scary, but they're not spookums.
You just like the face hugging.
Yeah, it's scary. Fucking scary as shit. Not spooky.
You're talking spooky now, not horror. Horror and spooky, I don't think, are mutually exclusive.
All right, okay. I guess that's true, because there's a lot of... I'm afraid of a lot of slasher films.
Yeah.
And they're definitely horror movies. Yeah.
I'm afraid of Wong Jing eating shit.
But, okay, this is... I guess...
They didn't show you. I was like, come on.
Off screen.
That is the best Wong Jing.
Chocolate sauce, Nutella or something.
Anyway, so what movie do you watch?
We watched The Magic Crystal, which is a movie... with Andy Lau in it, directed by Wong Jing.
1986 movie?
1986.
Let's not do all the movies that came out in 1986. No? Oh, God. It's
Unless you got a list already.
Oh, Nathan, interrupt us here.
Never-ending story.
Transformers. No. the literal title is Magic Jade, so whatever.
And this is the first Wong Jing film that Andy Lau has starred in. I don't know if he's done a cameo before, but this is their first collaboration as leaders, I guess. Andy Lau is... leading an ensemble cast, I guess. I mean, Cynthia Rothrock's in this film.
Yeah.
She wears white pants, like she does in a lot of films.
The 80s fashion is on point in this movie.
Max Mock is in this movie.
Max Mock, wide-eyed Max Mock, always looks surprised.
I have a little bit of trivia here. This doesn't really count, but just give me a second here. So the child actor, Bin Bin, as this loads up, who plays the character Pin Pin. Oh, God, just hurry up and load, would you?
So how about them?
Richard Norton. Yeah.
Karen.
Richard Norton.
How about that local sports team, huh?
I'll edit this shit out. Just
No, actually.
Everybody clap.
Look. No.
Great trivia, Scott. Right. Yep.
Well done. The stat, man.
Where's your trivia, Mike?
Past Sam would have seen Cynthia Rothrock and Richard Norton and just jizzed himself and went, ooh, that's a film we haven't seen before.
That's why there's wide leg pants in those crotch pants.
What? Well, crotch pants?
It's got those stretchy crotch pants in the movie.
Like, this movie is like four movies all slapped together, a bit like every Wong Jing movie.
Yeah.
And some of it's amazing and some of it's pretty terrible.
He recycles a lot of themes, like the Indiana Jones theme. He recycles the aliens.
I think HGMDB just fucking died.
I think he killed it with your requests.
Yeah.
Someone's looking up something from a bin bin. Shut it down. Shut it all down.
You've used all your free credits on Hong Kong Movie Database, Scott.
Shit.
It's over.
Now you're on some kind of list.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. This guy's too interested in the magic crystal. Cynthia Rothrock is looking at you. So, like we said, it's got Cynthia Rothrock, Richard Norton's in it. It's got Philip Coe. Who else is in this film? Fucking...
Chung Fat.
Chung Fat is in this film. Chung Fat's in every film, but he is sans mustache.
So he's got a good curly mullet.
Yeah. There's a lot of mullets in this film, actually.
1986.
Like, you know, like, what's that? That buzz, almost flat top.
But then with the long at the back?
Well, I thought it was... He almost had a Jerry curl going on.
Oh, yeah. Coe did, yeah.
Yeah.
He looked like he was a backup singer for the Ohio Players.
Who's the mum that comes in later?
Wei Huang.
She is fucking awesome.
She was a sleeper hit because none of us knew who she was. And she just plays like a unassuming mum, a domestic mum. And then when the shit gets real, she gets real.
And who's Seinfeld? Nautilus?
Oh, Nautilus Chan, who... I guess he's a comedian, right?
He's trying to be funny.
You find him funny.
I guess.
I always find him cringe.
What is the deal with hamburger? He looks like he's about to do something like that, right?
If he wasn't like borderline creepy pedophile, he would be my hero for this film.
You know who they should have put in instead? Oh, God. I can't
Wayne Lye.
Yes. Thank you.
This is way before Wayne Lye got famous, so.
Yeah, Wayne Lye, exactly. That's exactly who I was thinking.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Another
they should
10,
team up.
15 years, I think. 10 years, maybe.
I think I like shit heels in films. I just find them just incredibly funny. But so if anyone hasn't seen this film and you were going to try and convince them to watch it, how would you sell this film? I'll go first. Cynthia Rothrock, Richard Norton. You must watch it.
You got my attention.
Richard Norton is not very good at being Russian.
That's true.
He's more like an Australian.
That doesn't make me want to watch it.
I don't know. I'm Australian. He's Australian, yeah.
He's pretty Aussie.
Yeah.
He's a New South Walesians, right? New South Welshman.
I have no
Isn't
idea.
Isn't he? I think so.
He lives in Sydney, yes.
Yeah, there you go. New South Welshman. Richard Norton. Come at me.
Aww.
It's a cheap flight, Sam. It's a cheap
flight. Might get back to him.
Yeah. He's old. I'm young. I just got bad knees. He's probably got bad everything.
Yeah, that's true. He has been thrown through a lot of glass.
He still kicked the shit out of me.
Anyone else?
Anyone else got one?
E.T.'s The Maltese Falcon.
What?
That's pretty good.
It's also, like, for the remainder of this movie, Richard Norton is referred to as Hank Scorpio.
He has that beard and coif.
Ever see a guy say goodbye to a shoe?
Yes, once. He's also walking around with like a collarless shirt. Oh, it's a weird collared shirt. It looks a little bit Mao Zedong.
It is. It's very. I don't know whether he's trying to ape a particular Russian ruler or something. I don't.
Could be a bit Stalin-y too.
He's trying to look as communist as he can.
Yeah, okay. He's going the communist look. Yeah, all right.
Oh, you want me to? Have you ever wanted to be really, really powerful within 5 feet of a stone?
It's not something that I've thought about.
Do you want to see the biggest crack rock you've ever seen?
Do you carry around a pet rock all day?
Yes, actually, it's a bit big to just carry around. It's fucking huge.
What if they put googly eyes on it?
And what if they gave it like 16 little feet?
Yeah.
Oh, and gave it a tongue.
Yeah, but you know
it's
what, though?
It's fucking gross.
I'd carry it around if it gave me, like, telepathic powers.
Yeah, it gives him... You've got superpowers within 5 feet of the rock.
That's all right.
You buy a nice backpack.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back, like, this is essentially the alien's pet rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's your description of the movie?
Do you want to see an alien with a pet rock?
That was a thing in the 80s, pet rocks.
It was.
Yeah.
And I can't believe Wong Jing didn't do it. The googly eyes.
Yeah.
He was right there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was right in his
And then we could all just be all like, well, everything everywhere all at once stole it.
It was kind of cute. The rock
It was not fucking cute. It was fucking gross.
Those little legs. It was cute.
Little legs.
Yeah. You know what? This is probably Wong Jing's film with the least amount of AIDS jokes in it.
There is one, though.
There is one.
One reference.
It's not really a joke. It's
consistency.
Yeah, one reference.
1986 this movie came out, so you know that commercial with the Grim Reaper and the bowling ball, that scary shit.
Yeah, no one knew much about it.
Was this the first Wong Jing movie with the AIDS reference? Citation needed.
I don't know. You heard it here first, folks. The Asian Action Cast.
He just went up and up from here.
So what's notable, I thought, about this film is that it was shot on location in Greece, and you could tell because they had so many wide shots of the Acropolis. Is it the Acropolis or the Necropolis?
It's not Necropolis.
Necropolis is from something else, isn't it?
Acropolis, yes.
Yeah. That might be from War...
just the Awok Boy or something.
That might be from Warcraft. And it also had, like, these big...
The Necronomicon.
The Necronomicon. And these overhead shots of just Greece. And it looked like the plane was just jittery as fuck. And it also had... all of Andy Lau and Wong Jing and everyone just having the best fucking time going to all of these different places.
Yeah, they definitely just did this to get a trip paid for.
Much like Wheels on Mills, right? We talked about before. It's like, oh, while we're here.
Might as well have fun.
Also, you can tell some of those people were clearly unpaid or unknown. They're on camera like, huh? And they've run past them. It's like, that's not an extra. That's a person.
Do you reckon there was a lot of tourists, I thought? It didn't look like there were many locals because I wouldn't have thought that the locals would be hanging out of these places, right?
Yeah, I assume so.
Yeah.
And they ain't paying for extras.
Now, I got to ask before we start, how do we feel about Andy Lau as an action hero?
Hmm.
I'm going to give him a pass, a 5.5.
You know what he is? He's a Marvel action hero.
Oh, nah, no.
Nah, he is. Yeah.
No, nah.
It's a little bit like watching like one of those dudes who does 6 months of like training and then they just edit it so it looks okay.
Like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, like a Hugh Jackman.
No. I look at him like...
Or like the Winter Soldier. Like,
nah. Like, have you seen Iron Fist? Like, see Andy Lau... Actually, Andy Lau does better martial arts than Danny Rand.
Yeah, I'm saying the movies. I'm not saying the TV shows. Fuck those TV shows, man.
Yeah, okay.
I rate Andy Lau as an action star in the same way I rate Wayne Lye as an action star.
Oh,
I think they're both good actors, but action is maybe not their forte, but they're decent at it.
That's a burn.
I just think Andy Lau is the kind of person who tries hard at everything he does and is mostly good at what he tries at. So
he's a B-plus player.
He's a dude that will train very hard for a part.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he does the thing for 6 months real hard, and then he's like... Actually, a good one is... Simu Liu. Yeah, that's Simu a good. I think that's a good example.
He looks like, good though.
The Ten Rings.
Yeah, but you can fucking super. It's just edits, man.
He looks good.
Yeah, but it's just edits.
He's got abs.
Question: who was the dad in that?
In the Ten Rings, that's Tony Leung. Yeah, Asian action star Tony Leung.
I wouldn't class him as an Asian action star.
No.
He's just an Asian star.
Yeah. He's done martial arts films, but yeah, Tony Leung is not known for his martial arts. Yeah.
Or another good example would just literally be like, why is it just blanking? Why did my brain just blank on it? John Wick, fucking Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, okay, like, yeah, sure.
I'm going to do it real
that's
hard.
That's really good, yeah.
That is very good.
He was in Lucky Twinkle Twinkle Like Stars, wasn't he? Like, he came in for a little bit and had a couple of fights.
Keanu Reeves.
I think I did see him in the background. Yeah.
All right.
Bill and Ted did a cameo.
I think his band Dogstar was playing in one of the scenes.
You're right. He was. He was wearing a yellow singlet.
Yes.
He was part of the singlet brigade.
Because I remember Nathan being like, oh, that's Andy Lau.
Mm. You know, they take a little bit of time here because Andy Lau is the star of this movie. And they take a bit of time to kind of highlight him as the star and show him flexing with his shirt off and stuff. But he just looks like he's yoga fit. Like, he maybe does downward dog really well. I don't know that he can finish business.
He has a really cool cordless phone in the gym, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you wonder if this is like one of those, you know, how they have that fad of copying movies that are successful and making another movie in similar vein?
Oh, you mean the whole Hong Kong film industry? Yeah.
That's Wong Jing.
Wong Jing, yeah. Because I'm like, this is obviously after...
E.T., Indiana Jones.
The Goonies.
Well, I was specifically thinking of Armor of God.
I didn't get Armor of God vibes. I mean, Armor of God is obviously riffing on Indiana Jones.
That's riffing on Indiana Jones and, you know, Asian Hawk and what they call his...
The Eagle.
The Eagle.
Fighting Eagles.
Flying Eagles.
Hunting Eagles.
Hunting
Eagles. You know, and they're after artifacts and blah, blah, blah. And he has a secret... What was that rope in his bag?
Yeah, duffel bag rope, dart.
Yeah.
It's called a hook shot.
But it's the only gadget he uses.
He went to that temple first.
It's the only gadget he uses.
But he works outside the law too, Sam.
Yeah, right. And he's somehow, the cops seem to think he's okay.
Max Mock is okay with him.
Max Mock is okay. He seems like a cool dude. He should have got more airtime. So, okay. With that in mind, Andy Lau... Kind of not. I mean, really, for me, the only action stars here are Cynthia Rothrock and Richard Norton.
My issue with Andy Lau is I just don't find... Like, I know I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to find him charismatic and leading man worthy. I just...
He comes off as smug.
He doesn't... No, he just doesn't come off as anything to me.
Oh,
like,
man.
I just get bored.
He's not your...
He's not my type.
Your target market, yeah.
I know. I understand that.
Look at his Roman nose. Greco and Roman nose?
Yeah,
Roman nose.
I'm sure that helps, like, for some people.
Nathan, wow. I've just got a call from all the listeners, the Asian guys. Who is your type?
Man-wise?
Sonny Chiba.
Sonny Chiba's very good. Like, I like my macho dudes macho with big eyebrows.
So what, Bolo Young?
Bolo Young, not bad.
Do you like a monobrow?
Who's the dad in this film with the big pecs?
Oh, yeah.
It won't work for me.
I think I made it pretty clear in the last... you weren't on that one.
You like your himbos, right?
I like your Melvin Wong. Do you like your Melvin Wong?
I do like a Melvin Wong.
Zom 100.
Yeah.
I was going to say Mangai.
Mang Hoi.
Yeah. Pour one out, bro.
Yeah, pour one out for Mang Hoi. Rest in peace.
How funny is that? Like, he's more of an action star than Richard Ng was. We gave more props to Richard Ng when he passed away.
That's so true.
What kind of? We did watch a Cynthia Rothrock movie today.
This is in part tribute because he was banging Cynthia Rothrock for like 5 years. No, you know what? Cynthia Rothrock was banging him. Because he, you know, she wanted to get in with Mang Hoi and he said, nah, I'll give you 5 years. I'm really busy.
You hear about that, like, oh, they were dating for a while. It's like, oh, maybe 6-7 months. No, 5 years.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's how bad she wanted the Hoi. That hoisin sauce.
Jesus Christ.
I respect. Mang Hoi's been around for a long time. We've seen a lot of, he was in Zoo Warriors from Magic Mountain, yeah. Legacy of Rage. Great behind the scenes, great in front of the camera. So,
and your nickname for him?
Yoon 2. I feel bad saying that though, because it makes it sound like he's a discount Yoon Bu, and in no way is he a discount anything. So, full respect. Yeah, rest in power, Mang Hoi. So, anyway, we're going to talk about a film that your girlfriend was in, The Magic Crystal. With that in mind, you know, Andy Lau. Not that great an action hero, but they do work hard to paint him as an action hero. He wears lots of sweatpants, I guess.
Dragon X.
This whole movie is sponsored by Puma Sport or something.
Is it really?
I think so.
Is that why you
should check the labels, and practically all the clothing is like Puma.
It felt like a product placement movie, didn't it? They're sponsored by Singapore Airlines as well.
Yeah, there was like a tag and there's a big logo at the end.
And there was a big sign, like the BMW...
on the motorbike.
Oh, on the motorbike. So,
with a sidecar.
Yeah. Maybe they were big back in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the movie kind of sets up him as being this a gentleman thief, I guess. You know, like... So, apparently, Wikipedia says that Mr. Han... what's his name? Sergeant Sheik? Yeah. He hires, so I guess he's in with the law, Andy Lau's Hunting Eagle, to go and get these documents, these court documents, and he breaks into a house and fights a bunch of goons to show that he can take care of business, and he ends up beating the shit out of this chubby, kind of shady businessman. Don't know what he's done, but apparently he's going to jail based on these documents.
And he has a cool song for his safe.
Yeah, London Bridge is falling down. This opening fight was kind of like, it was okay, you know? You could tell that it wasn't Andy Lau.
It didn't look too bad though. Like, he played the part.
There was Chung Fat, and that was what was more important.
I did like when Chung Fat got blood on his mouth and he went into like his berserker rage, the Chung Fat berserker rage, which kind of looks like a kid that's having a tantrum.
But would have been better if he had a mustache.
I would, yes. I would have liked it much better if he had a mustache.
Mm. Was he taking all the shit stunts? He was a stuntman, was he?
Yeah, there were quite a few shit stunts in this. Wasn't somebody... didn't he get thrown over and then land on his back on the edge of a table?
I'm going to go semi, not controversial, but I reckon stunts in that first fight scene were the best stunts in the whole movie.
Yeah, because somebody gets thrown halfway across a door, like the ribs get thrown halfway across a door. All that's just nasty shit stunt. That's stuntmen getting... bruises and stuff like that. It looks fucking amazing though.
Okay, could take a pause here. Nathan has perused the track list of Monster Halloween hits. Anything stand out?
I'm going to tell you something that I think might change your view on things. It's actually structured.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
it's like a playlist.
Yeah. So the third CD is the 60s and 70s like novelty hits. It's all like I Put a Spell on You, The Blob, Purple People Eater. The disc one isn't that. It's like Thriller. Like, they're real songs. They're not novelty songs. All the ones on the third disc are all the, like, the old school.
All right, I'll allow it, but Monster Mash should have been number one somewhere.
Yeah, they should have reversed it. That should be the disc one. That should be disc one. And it does start pretty good. That's disc one. It does start with, like, I Put a Spell on You.
It's not the top 100 mega hits on the radio or something, counting down from 100 to 1.
Counting down from number one.
So on that third CD, it's I Put a Spell on You, The Blob, Purple People Eater, then Monster Mash, then The Lurch, then Witch Doctor. Like, it's all the, you know, we're the 60s and we're going to make a dance out of something.
All right, I'll out.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, go on.
That's all right. Thanks, 90 Scott FM. So this whole opening scene is just to set up that Andy Lau can take care of business and he is a treasure hunter.
City Hunter.
He's less a treasure hunter than Jackie Chan was in Armor of God. I think he's more like a...
He's just a fixer.
Mercenary for hire.
Yes, spot on, Michael.
I did get Jackie Chan vibes from the early part of the movie, though.
Mm. Which bits?
Just him showing up and being a... Well, not a vigilante, but...
The product placement.
He's more of a...
There was posing, and then he was wearing all the black clothing. I don't know, because he wasn't like a cop.
Fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the fucking movie? Sam Hui, Aces Go Places.
Oh, yeah.
I get that, more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... Sam Hui has more charisma than Andy Lau.
At this point, anyway.
Yes.
But Andy Lau's a better actor.
Not.
He doesn't really show.
I say not at this point.
This is
let's,
quite
let's
young.
Be real. Let's give the benefit where benefit lies. In this movie, he is just a very attractive man.
Yeah, but he's surrounded by attractive men,
and that's
too.
Good enough for Wong Jing,
yeah,
I
that's
think,
what I'm, yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
Is he a singer? Does he sing?
Yes.
Andy Lau. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say Wong Jing is very good at picking attractive people for his projects. Like, he gets the girl next door looks. He gets that, classically good-looking guy. He's usually pretty good with his casting.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah. I don't know what happens next. They go to Greece.
Let's not... It's like, okay, so the other thing to think about with this film is they stop dead in their tracks for gags constantly. For gags that aren't funny. It's got like a twinkle, twinkle, like Lucky Stars or something going on in there where it's like, no, we're just going to stop for 5 minutes and we're going to do like a mind control gag. And then we're going to stop for 10 minutes and then just we're going to have these kids fucking talk.
Slice of life.
And the bullies and all that shit. Who gives a fuck?
You mean every Wong Jing movie ever?
Yeah, but sometimes those bits are bizarre and freakish enough that you're like, holy shit, this is bizarre and freaky. None of these bits are that strong.
Nah, it's totally him just trying to... come up. It reminds me of a story that Jackie Chan was saying when he was making City Hunter, and he basically said that Wong Jing would just sit there in his trailer coming up with stupid jokes, and then they would come out and film them and he would just add them in randomly, so there's not like a script going on. He just come up with random gags and
he writes sketches and tries to make him into a 90 minute movie. Yeah. He's doing the Kentucky Fried Movie thing constantly.
Essentially, yeah.
They are a bunch of sketches because the actual underlying plot is not really explained very well.
It's also not strong enough to hold together the movie.
I think if they had written it properly with the story, as opposed to just kind of like being connective tissue between skits, it might have worked. Because I did not know until I read Wikipedia that Andy Lau has an archaeologist friend that has some random artifact.
Wasn't that the guy he was meeting in Greece?
That's what I said. I was like, gee, they just give him a suitcase and have him walk around some ruins and call him an archaeologist. That was right at the beginning.
Yeah.
You missed that, obviously.
I feel like the movie, like, gets it together for the last like 20 minutes. Maybe it sort of comes together finally.
Is that because of Richard Norton and Cynthia Rothrock being both in the picture at the same time?
Yes. Yes.
This movie goes... Actually, that's not even really the beginning of this movie. The beginning of this movie has like six different sequences in which he does the thing in the safe to introduce the character. Then there's the bully sequence, the first of the bully sequences.
Hey,
and
you talking about my man Steve?
Yeah,
Steve.
Like that whole... like all of those bits... And then it gets to Greece and it's already 15 minutes into the film.
Yes. Yeah.
Can we say a lot of restraint to not call Steve Fatty?
Yeah, good job.
I'm surprised the film doesn't call him Fatty because
exactly. That's
what always happens, right?
Yeah, but Wong Jing is also kind of fat, so he might want to pull back on that.
This is probably the least fat that he's been in a film I've seen him in.
Yeah, well, it's the mid-80s. He's probably very high on cocaine. It's hard to be fat on cocaine.
Burning that energy. He does always tie it back to some kind of childhood trauma, though, doesn't he? There's always an element of like a kid being bullied or your crush kind of... making fun of you or something like that. And he spends way too much time here.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The thing is, in place of those, you do have some charismatic acting. You have some good characters and things like that. But then you have some fucking tremendous fight sequences. Mm-hmm. Just peppered all the way through this film.
I think there's a fairly long lull until you get to Greece when Philip Coe is trying to escape the KGB goons that are after him.
Well, you get that beginning fight, as you guys just said, you get that beginning fight sequences where Andy Lau breaks into...
Yes.
And that's good.
That's
and
very
that kind
good.
Of keeps you like, okay, this is going to be good. And then it slows down again. Then it goes up again.
Yeah.
Just get rid of that 30 minutes.
The lull?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of lulls. But that,
or make those fucking jokes work.
Or get rid of those one joke characters that just go away to the loony bin afterwards.
Yeah. Like Wong Jing trying to pick up a chick in Greece. Yeah, I didn't need to see that.
No, wasn't important.
Yeah. The chase sequence with Philip Coe, there's a scene where they're in Greece, I presume, and there's just a sea of chairs, like fold-out white chairs and fold-out white tables. I don't know if any of you have been to Greece. I don't know if this is a real thing.
Yes, I have.
Is that true? Why would they have that many chairs?
No, it's not.
Okay. Because it seems...
It's actually more cleaner than that. I mean, the film was cleaner than Greece. Greece is dirty.
Well, you did go after the... You went after
the riots.
Yeah, after it went to shit.
Oh, my.
I was getting anxious looking at that going, man, I don't want to walk through all those chairs. Let's go around them. And then these guys are just running straight through it. And then stuntmen are getting thrown onto chairs. You know how I feel about getting ribs on wood and stuff like that.
And then some people are kissing under an umbrella.
Yeah, that was a weird segue. I don't understand.
Well, he needed to take that umbrella.
The umbrella.
It could have just been an umbrella.
Yeah.
It's Wong Jing getting horny again.
Yeah. but that there's a good fight sequence in here with Cynthia Rothrock with a guy against with Tonfers.
Yeah, that was
and
very
she's got
good.
She's got a staff that she whips out of a case, and she's got that case for a really long time. I'm like, what's in the case?
We were all wondering what was in the case.
I thought it was a tripod, a camera tripod.
Oh, no, I thought it was going to be a sword.
I was thinking a rifle for some reason.
Mm.
Well, it would have made more sense to be a rifle because they're, you know, the police, not like martial art Avengers from the past. The Interpol.
Is it me, though? But I always feel like if the hero pulls out a sword or a bladed weapon first, spear doesn't count, then it seems like they're the aggressor, they're the bad guy. I always feel like the good guy always responds with a weapon.
You're saying she provoked it?
No, I'm saying that she responded to the guy's sword.
Self-defense is illegal.
He pulls out the tonfa first.
Ah. Yeah, and then she responded with a spear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it has a blade, but also mostly wood.
But she was also packing it the entire time, so she knew it was going to happen at some point.
It was very cool. I like that it had its own carry case.
Yeah. it reminded me of the carry cases that you see some people carrying around with their snooker.
Yeah. Or a clarinet or something. I don't know what she was going
to put out. I brought my own pool cue.
Oh, shit, I know I'm about to get rolled.
That was kind of the funny thing was, like, all the good guys, when they had the weapons, they were openly carrying them in carry cases.
Yeah.
And the bad guys just pulled these tonfas out of their ass. I don't know where the hell he was.
Didn't Wong Jing pull one, like, from behind his back?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were the dodgiest looking nunchucks I've ever seen. It looked like he just got two bits of steel welded together.
Exactly. It looked like all dented and shit.
Yeah.
How many shots did you use those on?
I actually thought the staff that she got out, the three-section staff, was a three-section staff that just happened to have a blade on the end.
Yeah, that's what I thought instantly. But then she
put it together.
Put it together, man.
Yeah. But she did. I know she's a martial artist, but she's very handy with weapons. Very handy. Especially with a spear, with the, what is it, the pubes, the red pubes on it that sit on the end.
Merkin, I believe it's
the Merkin. It was, yeah. Or were you taking the piss out of me?
That's the taking the piss.
Yeah, right.
A Merkin. You know what a Merkin is.
I know what a Merkin is. It's a fake Merkin.
Look it up.
Yeah. Stunt Merkin. That's what it is. But she takes a while to dispatch this guy.
A Spurkin.
No, that's when it comes off. She takes a while to defeat this guy, but the martial arts is very good. The stuntman is not that great a fighter, but I guess he's not supposed to be. And then Max Mock is, he's doing okay. He's hitting people with cameras.
He is the weak link.
In the martial arts movie or just here?
In all
even
aspects.
In the whole, even in the whole plot, I found like he was very superfluous.
Yeah.
He didn't need to be there.
He was like some kind of like connecting tissue again.
Yeah, but of everyone in the film, I think I would go for a drink with Max Mock. And maybe Cynthia Rothrock.
His big eyes do it.
What about
you?
Fucking Norton?
Norton. No, I'd take Norton home.
He'd drink you under the table.
I'd be like, Richard Norton, you don't need that shirt on.
Is it painful?
You know, actually, I'm going to say something. During the movie, there's a very brief moment where Richard Norton takes off his shirt and Sam said, oh, no, you can't take off your shirt. Annie Lauer's not going to let that happen. And then in the next sequence, he has his shirt back on with no reason why he would have his shirt on because he swam to this place.
Did
he bring a whole other outfit with him to change back into? It's because Annie Lauer did not want him to be shirtless.
Because Annie Lauer and Richard Norton...
Andy was wearing sweats in the next scene.
They were sharing a scene together. You're absolutely right. You never see Richard Norton with his shirt... Richard Norton with his shirt off in the same scene as Andy Lau.
He was pretty ripped though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was fucking jacked.
He's been jacked since he was three. He's just fucking huge. And the problem is that they show Andy Lau with his shirt off in several scenes.
Yeah, and it just... No.
He's got,
that's just for ladies, but... for 1986 for ladies, maybe.
But they introduced him with the fitness scene, didn't they? Right at the beginning of the movie.
I don't understand. You show this guy, and yeah, he's yoga fit, he's athletic, and then you show a guy that can crush a walnut between his pecs, and you're like, damn. It's
I just really like the fact that it was like, nah, he's not gonna. I was thinking about why they make him put his shirt back on. I was like, Andy made him put the shirt back on. He's like, I'm not doing this fucking scene with him with his shirt off.
And Richard Norton's just like, yeah, all right. Yeah.
As Rachel alluded to, painful. The second movie, he said that.
That is a classic Richard Norton gag, because he does that in The City Hunter as well, I believe. Yes, he does, because he smacks him with the steel poles, and then Jackie's like, toughen it out. And he's like, painful?
No, he also says it in...
Winners and Sinners.
No.
My Lucky Stars.
Yeah, Twinkle Twinkle. He says it then.
Is it Winners and Sinners?
He's fighting Samo.
Yeah.
Okay, so is this his I'll Be Back?
I guess.
Now, quick question for you. Now, Richard Norton, to me, comes across in this film as sort of ice cold, very monotonous, very like cool, calm and collected. Is that his acting style, or is that he's playing that character? Is he generally like that?
He always plays the same character, though.
Just kind of...
Do you think he comes across as cool, calm, and collected?
Like, very low-key. He's not like, ah!
No, he's not ah, but he's definitely cracking jokes at other people's expense a lot. He's sure, like, yeah.
But he's not like M. Bison going, ah!
Within his, like, his acting... Not acting range, but I think it's just how he can...
Like, he totally nags that woman.
How he can emote. He can't... he can't yell... No. Excitedly, that's just him.
He's not like a campy, flamboyant, campy guy, but he is fun. He's got like a sense of fun, but also that simmering rage underneath.
And before I forget, who is it that goes the Bruce Lee? Was that Andy Lau or is that Max Mock?
That's the kid.
The kid, you're right, shit.
Yeah. Pin-Pin?
Bin-Bin.
Oh, Bin-Bin. Bin-Bin, Bin-Bin.
Pin-Pin, a.k.a. Bin-Bin.
Yeah, that's the little... So the little kid who's getting bullied at school is Pin-Pin. He's got his glasses. Looks exactly like Wong Jing, like a young Wong Jing. They're not related. And that's the whole side story, is that Ping-Ping makes this incredible relationship with the Rock.
You know what? For a child actor, he does a pretty good job.
Yeah, he does. And I thought I was going to hate him. I thought I was going to be like... I didn't hate him. You're right. You didn't hate him.
No, I thought he was okay.
Yeah,
as far as it goes, like the problems of this film are not his. He did what he could.
He tried, and he was acting with a Rock. So
yeah,
well done, little kid. I mean, the other Rock, Andy Lau.
You're saying Hayden Christian was in this movie? Oh, sorry,
he's all right in a
too modern. No, just joking.
Brutal, brutal. So this is the we're only after the second fight scene, which is Philip Coe escaping. But then he manages... See, this is the thing I don't like. He's running away. He manages to get away. It's all quiet. He goes to his safe room in the hotel and gets shot.
Oops.
Because he's instantly trusting of a dude. He sees him like, oh, yeah, there's another Asian dude here. That's good. I wasn't just fighting like six other Asian people.
They don't take any pains to explain why he's running, what he's got, what's going on. He's just fighting some random dudes.
And they switched the bags, right?
He did switch the bags.
He's not a bad fighter for an archaeologist, is he?
I wouldn't call him a martial artist.
Well, he's good friends with Andy Lau, so of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
You pick up a thing or two.
Yeah. When you have to fight mummies and shit. I don't know that he switched bags or if he just put the jade in the kid's bag.
I thought he put it
in the kid's bag.
Yeah.
He always had that old suitcase with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he threw it at them when he was trying to escape.
Mm.
I want to see a movie where Andy Lau fights a bunch of mummies.
Oh, that's just him on a Saturday night when he goes to the shops.
Mm.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
And they're all trying to touch him.
He attracts the MILFs.
Mm.
That's what that joke is.
Yeah, okay. Good joke.
You have to explain the joke.
I didn't have to. I came to bury him, not to praise that joke, okay?
That's Nathan's iron punchline technique come back again since the Cripple Avengers. Philip Coe has escaped, and now we get into this whole fucking subplot of this crystal that can change, like, can control people's minds.
Yeah,
it can do infinite amounts of things.
It can talk to you via EMP or whatever.
ESP.
ESP.
And it can change your feet to hands and hands to feet.
Yeah. Rearrange your molecular makeup. Like,
why would you do that if you could rearrange your molecular makeup? Why would you make hands, feet, feet, hands?
It's an alien. Does what it wants.
The limit of special effects. Object
that said he was like a bad person, so he was teaching him a lesson.
Yeah, I understand the reason. Why would that be the thing you do, though? If you could do anything, if you could change someone on a molecular level, why wouldn't you get rid of their dick or something? Wouldn't that be funny? Isn't that a better joke, Wong Jing?
So who's that? That's Natalis, right? That's the actor.
Natalis Chan, yeah.
He, for a guy waking up with his hands and feet, he seems pretty like, whoa. He's like, I'm like, ah! he's like, shit, what do I
that's
do now?
That's a whole other movie.
I'd fucking he's freak all, out.
He already shouldn't be in this movie. It's too long.
Yeah, that guy should have been excised from the entire film.
Wait. If you excise it from the entire film, you lose one of the best gags in the film where he takes Andy Lau's car park and goes, ah, you don't want to park here anyway. People always scratching cars and dropping shit out their windows. And Andy Lau's, whatever, man, I'm out of here. And then he's like, yeah, you got to be quick in Hong Kong. And somebody throws a fridge at his car.
Andy Lau driving a fucking Porsche or something. Though,
or also the only moment of like pure horror probably in this movie where he's trying to peep on Charlotte Cheryl.
Oh, yeah.
And then So the crystal's put into his mind that he's seeing different things. So In fact, she's like ripping her face off.
That was pretty
fucked up. To expose like, I don't know what kind of...
meaty flesh.
Disgusting things. They're not crawling at least. But and then he falls down from the balcony, which is an ongoing joke, into a hole in the ground.
So many people fall off the balcony.
I respect the, like, the people died for it.
There's quite a few of them.
There's a lot of long falls, isn't there? Like stuntmen just taking like, massive dives.
Before that portion, there is that good fight sequence in the gym.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Oh.
Again, good.
Good fight.
Nothing good.
There's like 15, 20 people in that gym Andy Lau's fighting with Natalis Chan. And I think it's just those two. Cynthia Rothrock.
Charlotte Chan's getting dragged away. Yeah. I guess is why they're fighting.
And who's the lady that's quote unquote ugly? And she's like, hey, stop fighting. The cop's a baseball bat in the face.
Oh. I don't know who she was.
It was some random lady that
was doing a lot of flips.
Yeah, why were they trying to steal Charlotte Cheryl?
I didn't get that. I never figured
place,
that out.
It
she,
never really...
she was the sister of the archaeologist. Oh, so they wanted to get her.
I didn't pick up on that. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, huh?
Thanks.
Because then it doesn't seem to factor again.
Well, it was
like
annoying because they were calling everyone sister and uncle and shit. And I was going, well, who's actually related here?
Because the mum, Pinpin's mum, says, did you kill my brother? So I assume that Philip Coe is her brother.
Yeah, I assumed that too.
I was like, can we just draw up a family tree and then...
Yeah,
but Winnie was the sister of the Philip Coe character.
So why do they act like... Why does Pinpin act like he's never met that person before, the woman before?
Yeah.
Because he acts like he's never met what would essentially be his auntie at that point.
That's definitely not...
You got to speak forward, Mike. I can't even see on
sorry.
That.
That's definitely, yeah. It was Winnie was the sister of the archaeologist Co. And what was even the mum's name? I think they just called her Mummy. That was... I didn't get a name.
Yeah.
She was great.
She was great.
Yeah, Weiwei.
Weiwei was way too much for everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was sisters with Andy, I think.
Yes.
That's where the uncle actually came from. And then I don't get where Wong Jing's character is related or just a friend.
They seem like they're married, but the kid calls him uncle, so I'm not sure if that's...
Yeah, no, that I don't... It wasn't father-son. It was definitely like actual... I think Andy was meant to be the actual uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I do love setting it up for later in the film. Chekhov's... Actually, it's not Chekhov's. It's a... Because Chekhov is you kind of saying like this is a thing that is then going to come in later, right? But this is kind of a bait and switch. They create this character who is this mum who just she's just cooking for the most part,
crying,
right?
Watching drama.
She falls over a couple. She falls over once.
Yeah, she slips over a marble.
She was literally knitting.
Yeah, so she's just looking after this kid, and she's this just really nice kind of mum hanging out at home. And then they do a bait and switch, and when she becomes a fucking badass, she's just like, what the fuck?
The best part about how they introduce this, though, is they've got the slow motion, like they're pulling out the knives and it's glinting in the dark, and they're sneaking up on this woman, and they're about to get her, and then she's doing the knitting, and then she throws the knitting like freaking daggers and takes out these guys real simple.
Well, the setup is, right, you've got these combat guys wearing combat boots. And
they're Rambos.
Yeah, they are. They're all Rambos,
they're
right?
They're all super into... part two. Yeah, not the original. First blood part.
They haven't returned from war. They're still in war. And they're getting their knives. And they open up that scene with them actually stabbing and killing a guy. So they show that these guys mean business. And they're brutal. And they'll kill her. And this poor lady, this poor mum's at home. And she's just, you know.
Can I ask, sorry to interject. But if your uncle is Andy Lau and he's a martial arts superstar in this movie. And your mum is a martial arts superstar in this movie. why the fuck is Pin-Pin getting so fucking bullied at school?
He's like 4 years old.
He's little.
Yeah, so?
Takes time.
They don't look like they're training him at all.
You gotta let the kid grow up for himself instead of
he's gotta be a virgin for 30 years first.
He was walking. He should be walking carrying some water bucket.
Smack him with some leaves and boil him.
His glasses should be fucking lead. Iron face technique.
That's right.
Yeah.
What the hell? They're not even training that kid right.
He should be reading that silkworm manual or something.
Takes time before he cocoons, you know?
I'm just saying, like, they seem to be letting it slide this generation.
Well, you know what, though? Like, if Andy Lau was an amazing martial artist, I don't think... I certainly didn't twig that Wei Wei was going to be a martial artist until she started fucking taking care of
these guys. Yeah, but once that's there, though, Pin Pin makes no sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but then, I mean, like, Wong Jing is also pretty useless. Isn't he part of that family?
He just seemed to be like the sidekick. I was trying to get if he was... I thought he was like the father of the child at one point.
That's something he gets called uncle, right?
Then he gets called uncle as well, so... I don't know, I guess he's
I know,
like,
you need a paternity suit or something.
And did we ever actually get introduced to the lady's husband?
No. All we got was her calling him like a tomcat or something.
Yeah.
Which made me actually think back that Wong Jing's character was...
I thought Wong Jing was the dad.
Because he tried to pick up that lady in Greece.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I thought it was, but
yeah I don't think...
Kid directly called him uncle, so...
It doesn't make sense.
No.
Let it go. Let it all go.
A lot of things don't make sense.
But then, like, when Wei Wei is kicking the shit out of these Rambos and she's doing fucking vertical splits and horizontal splits.
She goes up a door.
Yeah.
She does a vertical split against a door after, like, stabbing someone with a longsword.
She's really good.
Yeah, she's very good.
Badass in this film. And in a film where Cynthia Rothrock is in it and you have this other female martial artist taking front stage center. Wow.
And then they do the duo against... I was going to say double team, but it seemed wrong. Do the duo fight against Norton with his gauntlets.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Studded gauntlets.
The only way he gets out of that one alive is he steals a kid.
Yeah, that's right. And for some reason, he's holding the kid's head with his hand as if he can crush it with his bare hand.
Well, you saw him earlier. He can.
I just want to go back to that introductory fight with Richard Norton, the bad guy, coming in and...
Attacking
Wei Wei. And that was kind of like a bit mismatched because she was so much better than what I thought Cynthia was in the, you know, the choreography and stuff with that fight. I was more like, because Richard's character was basically ripping into her and paying her out for being a woman and so forth through this thing. And then Cynthia comes in and goes, depends on the woman kind of thing to like throw it off and make out like she was this better than him or something, but she was just weaker and her shots were weaker essentially in the choreography against Richard, and it took both of them to knock him down kind of thing.
Well, they set Richard up. His name's Karov.
Scorpio.
Yeah. So Scorpio, he's got this like background of all these different martial arts, and I like how they drip feed you a bit, because he goes and he talks to Philip Coe when Philip Coe was still alive, because I presume he's dead now. And Philip Coe's like, you know, come closer, I'll tell you. And then he tries to take a cheap shot at Scorpio. And Scorpio just fucking just kicks the shit out of him, right? He's like, yeah, not bad, but I've studied Kung Fu. I've studied all your martial arts.
I know 12 different dialects.
Yeah. So they really set him up as being this really fucking badass character. And when he's fighting Wei Wei, I love it when she gets a shot at him and he actually appreciates it. He's like, oh. He's like, yeah, what was that? That's all right.
Oh, shit. You made me bleed my own blood.
Can I point out, I think it's in this sequence. It might be just a little bit later sequence. Well, one of the Rambo dudes just licks a knife.
licks a freaking plunger.
It's fucking funny, man.
There's a standoff of like three Rambos. They've all got knives. And it's Wong Jing standing there with a plunger from the top. Presumably because he's been eating shit.
Yeah. Earlier on, he was told to go eat shit by a guy who had mind control powers. So we assume he's been eating shit this whole time.
And the Rambo guy who's just like, he's like from The Rock. He's like, I'm going to gut you, boy. And he's licking the knife. And Wong Jing is just like, I've only got a plunger. And he does this really tentative little,
That was fucking,
like the other
funny.
Guys, because the lick isn't supposed to be intimidating, right? So he's trying to intimidate him back, I guess.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't, he's not thinking it through. It's probably the funniest Wong Jing actual gag I've ever seen.
It's pretty good. And then he
Because it's done really well.
Yeah. And then he leaves. He just fucks off and runs away. And then the girls are fighting.
Not that. Not the funniest Wong Jin gag is in the one where he goes, "I have ESP," and then they spend like five minutes drawing all the light around
him. That's not a gag, but it is very funny.
Well, he's going, "I've got ESP," and all the lights around him.
It's like, not as good as a lick. It's not as good as licking it. Like, to try and intimidate someone, licking a fucking plunger is.
It was the good bit where he does that and he beats up some random bad guy and he goes to get the other one and jumps at him and jumps straight out the window and down the balcony fall.
I think he's good with like the setups because just before he gets these ESP powers, the kid goes, "Come here, the crystal's going to give you powers, right?" And Wong Jing just kind of faints. So you think it's a fake out and you don't think he's going to get it. And eventually he does end up, I think he touches noses with the alien penis. And then he stands up and he's got those anime lines radiating behind him. And it's slow motion.
Shit.
It's terrible, but also very, very good.
It's terrible, but also perfect.
It's when you're director, you can get them to do anything.
Yeah. And then he just goes and he beats the shit out of like three guys.
And I feel like at some point we kind of stop talking about the plot and just stop talking about cool shit. So to sum up very quickly, a magical crystal is in the hands of the wrong people. They try and get it from the right people. The crystal gives various powers to other people and then goes back to its home planet, like Poochie.
No. The crystal doesn't go back to its home planet. The crystal is a pet / computer hybrid that the alien creature requires in order to leave. And the creature dies at the end of being used, but it has a child baby rock.
And Hank Scorpio goes to space?
Yes, Hank Scorpio was also blasted off into space.
With the claymation alien.
He merges with the paper mache piece of shit that somehow is an alien, and then he goes out into space.
Yeah.
That's the very, very basic plot.
Pretty much.
One drink for each fall out of the balcony.
So we don't know why Hank Scorpio wants the rock.
He thinks he'll make him a leader in Russia, I guess.
I don't know how he's able to resist. How's he able to resist the
strong will.
I guess.
Putin used to be part of the cage.
Yeah,
because the Jade says his mind is too strong or something.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's why he wears that shirt. That's why he can't take it off. Gives him mind control protection.
Protection?
His beard also.
Yeah.
I did like that. I was like, I can't control that guy's mind. Like, the thing's just like, I can do it to everybody else, but I can't control that dude's mind.
He's too fucking cool.
Maybe he can't get into Richard Norton's mind because he'd just fall in love with Richard Norton. He's like, I can't do it.
I don't want that temptation.
Yeah. Can't be tempted. And so I think they take the kid at this point. They take the kid out of the room. And the only reason that Richard Norton's able to take the kid out of the room is because he's going to crush his skull with his bare hands. And, you know, Mum Wei Wei and Cynthia Rothrock. What the fuck's Andy Lau doing at this point?
He's in prison.
Oh, he's in prison. That's right.
This is the bit that didn't make sense.
This whole scene could have been cut for me.
Well, yeah. He goes to the house, attacks Wei Wei and everyone else for the sole purpose of getting the rock. He could literally take the rock off the kid, but decides to take the kid as well. And
he needs to learn for how to use the rock.
Yeah, like they tried to make it that, but he didn't know that the kid could use the rock at that point.
So yeah, he's doing a lot of intimating there.
Yeah.
At some point during the movie, the rock is glued to the kid. But I feel that comes way later because they take the rock away and try and test it.
That's after they rescued the kid.
So there's a whole other fight sequence with all the boxes.
Oh, in the warehouse.
There's a lot of boxes.
Where they swim in the harbour. That's pretty gross.
That's disgusting. I do like a good siege section, you know, where they're going to go and they're actually going to infiltrate a base.
I like how the mum is part of that team.
That's cool.
She's not like, I'm going to stay here and look after the house. She's like, I'm fucking getting my kid. You know?
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Big Trouble in China when they go in the sewer.
Yeah.
And they're wearing like those blacks, the black outfits. That was cool.
Also, I'd much prefer to have the mum than Wong Jing or probably Andy Lau.
Yeah. Yeah. But Andy Lau's wearing his like fitness gear, right? So he's wearing his Pumas, I guess.
If Andy Lau was in this movie for like 10 minutes, you'd have a Lucky Star situation where he would be on the front of the DVD and people would be complaining he's only in a movie for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
That'll change the whole vibe of our My Lucky Stars award for the end of the year special.
Well, I reckon like Cynthia's only in it for maybe 25 if he does cut down the 5 cents. I
was going to say the updated Blu-ray versions that have been selling, or this got mostly Richard Norton and Cynthia Rothrock on the cover.
Well, they know who's paying the money for the movie, I guess.
Yeah. That's
actually realistic advertising.
That's realistic. I thought Andy Lau on the cover is realistic, but no one's going to buy it.
Why? I thought Andy Lau was well loved.
I mean, no, for like a Western audience. If they're selling the reissue Blu-ray,
yeah, I guess that's true.
To the Western audience.
Well, you know, past Sam saw Cynthia Rothrock and Richard Norton and was just like, sold!
What if Steve was on the cover?
Yeah, Steve was on the cover.
Just making the biggest figurehead in there.
Past Sam would have been like, Fatai!
Because HKMDB is down, we have to point out that Steve's dad is this massive jacked up dude and I wish I had his name.
He's
but
not that massive. He's barely
compared to Wong Jing. He's pretty big.
He's wearing a very tight shirt.
He looks like
very high pants.
He looks like Richard Ung if he was like younger and more fucking muscly.
It's like all the school kids were like in the high pants family or something.
Sorry, I just had to put that out there.
I do like that the payoff for that bully. The payoff. I don't know why Nathan thought that was hilarious.
What's so funny?
I don't know. I'm very very tired.
The payoff for the whole bully sequence is that little Pin kicks the shit out of Steve using his crystal powers, and then lifts him up and says, "We can be friends."
And he's like, "For real?"
Yeah.
And everybody's like, as if Steve wouldn't kick the shit out of him as soon as he got back up.
Yeah. Well, it's like most bullies. You teach them a lesson once and they're just little bitches.
I've never actually seen that play out in real life. Have you ever actually fought a bully?
No.
Yeah.
But that's probably what'll happen, right?
You know what you find out? You find out the bullies have probably been in a lot of fights with brothers and or fathers and really want to fight because they got a lot of rage.
They got a lot of rage.
They don't just cry after you punch them once.
Maybe they just need a hug.
Probably, actually.
But just not from me.
To be fair, Pin like did a drop kick on him or something, right?
Yeah, he did a flying kick.
Yeah, Liu Kang, motherfucker, straight across the screen.
Anyway.
Are we near the end yet?
Yeah,
pretty much.
We're digressing. Because now they're going to, this is where we get the Richard Norton shirtless scene.
He does the whole, the Rock convinces him to let him go back to space or whatever. And so he uses the Rock's
mind
control powers.
But the Rock also says, let's go to Greece and I'll help you through with the passport and all this.
Yeah, he says, mind controls everybody on the way through.
Yeah. The travel agent for the airline tickets and the security to get on the plane. And then,
which is kind of scary if you think about it.
This kid's going to Greece by himself, and then all of a sudden, all of the adults are in Greece at a hotel drinking cocktails. We don't know where the kid is.
They look really panicked about the whole situation.
No. And the kid's on a boat that's being piloted by some really creepy rando guy. Who then gets shot through the chest with a spear by a topless Richard Norton. And then they end up on an island in Greece.
Is it weird that the spear came from the front and then Richard Norton appears at the back?
Yeah,
I kept thinking physics, huh? Yeah.
That's how good he is, Richard Norton.
Homing arrow.
He just throws it and it comes back to him.
It's boomerang arrow. Boomerang.
Boomerang spear gun, yeah. And they end up on an island, which apparently is Temple of Doom. They're like fucking going through caves and
It's Indiana Jones and Goonies and everything all Tomb Raider. Together. Yeah,
it's booby traps.
It's an impressive set.
It is pretty big
for what I feel like this movie's pretty fucking cheap. Yeah, it is an impressive set.
Greece is not expensive enough.
And it felt like they spent a bit more money than the average kind of throwaway movie would do in Hong Kong.
But just not on the alien itself.
No.
That's where they had the cheap out.
Although they did make it to the alien and that synth kicked in and the fog machine went on. I was like, wow, they're about to get like an ELO show.
That alien was like, what do you call it? Paper mache.
Paper mache, yeah. It looked like it was snap frozen. Well, it said so, right? But the thing I really love, though, is every time they do like a hero introduction with maybe Cynthia Rothrock or someone, they've got that hero music that comes in. And I thought that was actually pretty cool.
Even if I can find cheesy. It, I'll chuck it in here somewhere.
It's cheesy as fuck.
The music for this whole film is pretty cool.
Yeah.
80s synth.
Look, let's set it up. If you're going to put the music in, I'll be like, Scott! Insert music here.
Cindy Morgan.
Just like that, snap. And then they have a big showdown. And I said before we got here, I said I would be pretty fucking disappointed if the final showdown fight was between Andy Lau and Richard Norton. Because you know who I want to see fighting? Cynthia Rothrock and Richard Norton.
And they do.
And they do.
It's kind of a 2-on-1. Andy jumps in a couple of times against Norton.
Yeah.
Good fucking fight scene though.
It is really good. It's well choreographed. And Richard Norton is very good.
Cynthia does a couple of weird stances where she's like wobbling around. It looks kind of comical.
I've seen that. There's a lot of...
That's Hangar, right? It looked like Hangar.
It didn't look... Like, there's times it happens a number of times in this movie, not just in this last fight sequence, where they do that whole thing where they change stance and they do like big flourishy show. And I actually feel like Wong Jing's making fun of that concept.
Because
it goes on way too long. Yeah. There's that bit where he does it with the size, where Richard Norton brings out the size and does it. And he does it like seven times. He goes...
It looks good, though.
Yeah, it looks great. Cool. But I still think it's kind of being done for comedic effect.
Tongue in cheek? Yeah, okay.
Especially like Cynthia's first stance where she shakes her boobs and shit. Like...
She doesn't just.
That is not.
They don't just do it. They don't just do it there though. They also do it in the fight where she gets out the broadsword. They also do it in the fight where she gets out her her spear. And I think a couple of the other people do it as well. Like they do it a lot, and they do it for a long time.
I don't know whether Wong Jing had any input into the action choreography.
Okay.
Because there might have been the action choreographer, which is another Tony Leung, and they would have. Because my understanding is when they shoot a film, Wong Jing goes in, films all the bits that have the talkie-talkie, and then once it's action, he's just like, I'm out, tap out.
Maybe I knew it was a comedy, though.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I just feel like, especially that Richard Norton one and that particular
with
Rothrock.
But it was like his movements were very nice, and he was showing his kata, I guess. And Cynthia Rothrock's movements with her boobs is something that I've seen before, and not just with women, but with guys as well. It's like
they do the shake, the eagle shake claw.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I don't know, building up their chi. I don't know,
just showing that. I don't know, their eagle of eagles,
the eagle plumes, the feathers.
Know what I'm saying,
the chest, the breast.
Yeah, that's right.
The breast.
Yeah, they puff. Sorry, birds sometimes puff out.
I'm
their,
making
like,
the pun.
Chest, yeah. Breast.
I'm making a pun.
Oh. It should have been Jeffrey Falcon.
Jeffrey. Asian Drago was in this film.
Yes.
He was a stuntman. What was his name? Eddie
Ma.
Eddie Ma was in this film. And he had...
He died.
Oh, did he die?
Yeah.
Oh, poor one out to Eddie Ma.
No, like in the movie.
Oh, right. Oh.
And in real life, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
Poor Eddie.
Yeah, poor Eddie. Eddie the Eagle. And this was the big end fight scene where they basically don't kill Richard Norton.
No, he kills himself later.
You can't kill Richard Norton.
Or he becomes
Norton.
A god, I'm unsure.
Yeah, he does kind of... get energized. Yeah. I'd love to see a sequel with him in space.
He's just getting probed.
Yeah.
Magic crystal 2.
He's more powerful than ever before.
But also trapped.
Yes. Up his butt. And that is pretty much the end of the film.
Well, the Jade dies, gives birth to a new Jade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of a freeze frame?
It freezes there.
I'm counting that as a freeze frame. Everybody cool with that?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's a freeze frame. It doesn't go to black. It goes freeze frame, and then it goes to a couple of seconds of black where it does like the like sponsors, and then it does, I think...
Then it shows most of the film, and then it shows a weird like ending scene where they're walking to the beach or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah.
Counts. Still counts. And you get a giant Singapore Airlines logo.
They were a big sponsor. That's probably how they got to Greece. Well, that is how they got to Greece, Singapore Airlines. And I got to say, after flying Singapore Airlines, they're the place to be.
Are we getting paid?
I hope so. And that was the end of the Magic Crystal. So, Magic Crystal, very long, not bad.
Not actually that long. It's like 90 minutes.
Is it really? Yeah. It felt like 2 hours. Like
the jokes dragged on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's Wong Jing's best film.
I want to cut that whole jail scene out and put more of Seinfeld guy, Natalis, jumping out of windows. Natalis Chad.
No. Oh, we didn't even mention that. During the fight sequence where they go and rescue Winnie, I think it's Winnie. Is that the name of the lady?
Who? Wait. Oh, yeah.
They jump out of a window. They jump out of the window to catch them as they run away, too. It's a big jump.
I don't know how the hell they did it.
Yeah, that was a big jump.
And Wong Jing jumps and just missed there.
It was too shot because the shot was looking up. When they did the jump, and then...
Yeah, it was a cut.
Okay.
Falling down.
Boxes, probably. Probably boxes.
Air mattress, something.
Do you know what I thought of a much funnier gag is when Natalis Chan is actually put a dick on his head, and then he has to hide it by wearing shit on his face?
Funny that joke. Should have been his punishment instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's more
a dick instead of a nose instead of a dick.
Yeah.
You get to smell your own balls for a while.
He would have been like, oh, what do I do now?
Yeah, what do I do now? I can't even jerk myself off because I've got feet for hands. Can't reach it. So, do we want to go around the table and are we doing a thumbs up?
Yeah, man. I think the fight sequences are so fucking good. It was a thumbs up. Like, it carried the movie for me.
Richard Norton, Cynthia Rothrock, thumbs up for me.
I was leaning towards thumbs in the middle, but I'm a thumbs up for this one.
Yeah.
yeah, only thumbs up for fight scenes. Just chop half the movie in half.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up as well. I thought it carries itself well enough with the fight scenes that it's mildly entertaining.
Some of the comedy is so stupid that you can't help but laugh.
I don't know.
Would you watch this movie again?
No. I don't think so. It's too long, man.
I just watch it just for that Wong Jing where he goes, "I've got ESP." That's fucking hilarious.
I'd watch a supercut.
Yep.
That's got to be a GIF, right?
Probably is, actually. At least it'll be a screenshot somewhere.
There's got to be so many movies of this 80s type that are action comedy anyway, so you could keep watching them, I think.
Mike, would you watch it again?
Not right away, but yeah, maybe like Sam, supercut.
Supercut.
Can we all agree that the shittest stunt was that guy getting kicked into the padded bar? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
It was padded, but fuck.
There's a lot of guys taking some really nasty hits.
When they're in Greece, I think someone like, they're jumping from table to table, and I'm pretty sure someone really stacks it hard.
This is played for last, but in that gym fight scene where Natalis Chan is getting comedically beat the shit out of, there's a scene where he, or maybe his stuntman, basically flies full pelt into a wall and then bounces off and then it just shakes it off. And I'm like, oh, that did not look good. That did not look fun. But yeah, hail to the stuntman. Rather than look at a do this at home, but rather a do this at home, is if you had mental ESP powers, what would you do?
Like in terms of like controlling
mind control, yeah.
Give me big bills.
Give me big bills. Oh,
I'm just joking. It's practically a boob joke, isn't it? I don't know.
Is that what he was saying? Was that a boob joke?
No, it wasn't. But it looked like it to me.
Asking for the money.
Yeah.
If you went into a bank.
What would I do with ESP?
Mind control powers.
I don't think nothing good can really happen.
Can I do mind reading?
You could just tell somebody to tell you what they think and then forget about it.
Yeah, that's what I would do then. I would just want to know what other people think.
What do you think of me?
Ooh, that's brutal. Would you?
Yeah. I wouldn't do it all the time. I wouldn't want it constant. What women think or something like that.
What if you can't turn it off? It's all or nothing. Nothing.
Why do you? I don't want to know what other people think.
I do.
Oh, no way.
I don't.
I do.
You'd be like... What do you
don't have to say, give me the money at that point. You can actually get things legally. Because you know what happens if you say, give me the money? At some point, someone sees a video camera of you stealing. It's still a theft. Okay. But if I say, I want to enter a deal with this, and you're like, in my mind, haha, this thing's only worth $20. I'm like,
all right. I got one.
All right.
At any random time.
eBay Gumtree business. Okay.
Random time when I'm walking around the city and I go like this, I want 5 random people that I choose in my mind to just go, hop. And spin around and then get back to the regular day. They go, huh? Like just jump in the air and spin around and like act like nothing happened. Everybody's like, what the fuck?
Dude, you don't need that. It's cool. You don't need mind control. You just need meth for that.
Hand out free meth.
Have you not seen Perth recently?
Well.
All right, I know what I'm going to do. Whenever I go into a crowded room, when I'm hanging out with people, I just want to be able to just like, again, prompt. And then everyone in the room will be like, oh, it's Sam. Like I'm the man. That'd be cool.
So like your entourage is
That's right.
You've got an entourage everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Like you want a hype man is what you're saying.
Yes. I do want a hype man. That's what I'd use my mind control powers for. Guerrilla warfare.
You want a fat man scoop to be following you around at all times.
Or maybe just claim a free lunch whenever I feel like it.
Oh, so you'd be like, I don't need to pay for this Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. You will give me free lunch.
And they'd be like, here you go.
Until you get to that one person, like Edward Norton. Richard Norton, Jesus Christ.
Who just punches you in the face.
I'm just getting real tired. He's like, his powers are too strong.
You're not having this burrito.
Fuck you.
Pay. You gonna use your mind control powers, Mike?
Maybe I'd make people like eccentrically gift things to me.
Oh.
When you go into a store. And I'm going to buy this now. Here you go, master, kind of thing, just in front of everyone.
It's like when Homer thinks he's Don Homer. He's like, Don Homer, I beg of this Don over you.
Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I want to change mine. I want to use my mind control powers to make my kids eat their vegetables.
Hey.
Impossible.
Time to go to bed. Yeah, they're too strong. My kids are like Karov.
They're too green.
They're like, no, dad. Then rip their shirts off and just go, rah!
Hey, before we wrap it up, do you just want to talk a bit about Bad Mind?
Huh?
The movie you watched last night.
No, that's okay.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a brand new movie. First. Johnny Toe didn't direct it, but he could have.
It's called Mad Fate.
Bad Mind.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Johnny Toe is like a producer.
Yeah.
But his fingerprints all over this fucking movie. It's very cool.
Yeah, right.
It's a Milky Way film, so.
All right.
It's like a horror slash thriller slash.
Well, it's like a psychopath and a guy on the bridge of insanity, I guess. But then there's also a serial killer killing off prostitutes.
Oh, Jesus.
In Hong Kong, so.
Good action film?
No.
Okay. Thriller.
Good movie, though.
Scary. Yeah. Scary okay. movie.
Actually, again, before we wrap up, just wanted to have a quick shout out to Top Knot Detective. I saw on Amazon Prime getting very, very good publicity. So, Australian production, and it's got Des Mangan in it.
Good fucking movie.
Very, very good film. Very, very good film. So, if you, I won't say anything more about it, but if you haven't seen it, Top Knot Detective.
It's good.
Good piece of fun. All right. If anybody has seen this film, would like to comment, has heard us, and thinks that we're full of shit, please write in AsianActionCast, Gmail, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Always listening, always watching. And until next time, adieu.
Bye.